Welcome to the Tailored Life Podcast, the one and only fitness and nutrition podcast that goes way beyond just training and nutrition and helps you create a life by design. I'm your host, Cody McBroom. I am a trainer. I am an entrepreneur. I'm a nutritionist. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I am a podcaster and content creator who is here to simply bring you value, free value at that. And today is, I'm actually really excited about this one because funny enough, I didn't realize this to the full effect, but I knew she listened sometimes, but we have a regular listener, somebody who's been listening to the podcast for years now, which is humbling because I requested them to come on the podcast and to share their story. So today's guest is Evelyn Bruce, who is a, we'll call her the CrossFit to bodybuilder. So she was a CrossFit enthusiast, competed locally, started a CrossFit gym, opened the gym, started running that. Her husband is very avid in fitness, ex-NFL player, and she completely switched after some injuries into bodybuilding. Now she's a figure competitor, and she is on the road to going pro. And man, honestly, I cannot believe she's not already pro. She looks phenomenal, and she trains so hard. She gets after it. She looks great. She's got the aesthetic physique. She's got the mindset to do it. I can't wait to see her compete at the Junior Olympias this year and hopefully go pro. I'm very faithful that she will. And today we're going to talk to her about her journey, her story about being a mother slash CrossFit competitor slash gym owner, entrepreneur slash wife slash figure competitor slash coach for nutrition, like all kinds of stuff. She's also an avid listener and just studier, enthusiast, person who is constantly evolving and growing and learning about the fitness and nutrition space. That's why she found the podcast. She actually came to my seminar recently with one of her coaches that works at her gym and got to hang out with me at my private seminar that I hosted here. And while she was here, we were chatting. I was like, man, you got to come back and get on the podcast. So it's been about a month and a half since the seminar, I believe. And she came out and decided to jump on the podcast. So it's cool for me to have somebody here locally too. So there's not too many great people. This sounds terrible. There's not too many great people in Washington State to have on the podcast, especially in the fitness space. So they're few and far between. But when I get the pleasure of having somebody local who is doing amazing things, who is talented, who is skilled, who is evolving and growing and passionate, I want to have them on the podcast and I want to have them live in the studio because it's just that much better. So you're going to get a lot out of this podcast. If you are a gym owner, if you are a business owner, if you are a fitness enthusiast who is looking to push and push and push and get better, if you are a mindset or personal development or life enthusiast, you're going to hear us talk about just doing things just to do things and getting better just to get better because life is about expansion. If you are a female who is afraid of seeing the scale go up and you want to build muscle, but you're worried about adding pounds to the scale, this is going to be a great podcast for you to listen to because you're going to hear how she goes through off season and prep and she intentionally gains weight and she intentionally increases her calories and lifts heavy and she still has a feminine physique while accomplishing muscle growth and better results for her sport of figure competition. So I could go on and on. This was a really, really cool and fun podcast, but I'm gonna stop hyping her up and stop hyping up the podcast, and we're just going to get to the damn podcast. So I'm going to link all of her links, her socials, all that stuff in the description of this podcast. Make sure you go give her a follow. If you enjoyed this podcast, definitely share it on your story and tag us both. We would love to thank you for listening. Of course, send it to a friend. Leave us a rating or review if you enjoyed it. And yeah, without any further ado, let's talk to the one and only, a local guest that I had here in studio, Evelyn Bruce. All right, so we'll just jump in. I'll do an intro later and stuff. But well, first of all, this is cool because it's like having a listener on the podcast, apparently.
Yeah.
I never actually knew that you were so, like, such a avid listener, honestly, until the seminar you came and you let me know. I was like, no shit. That's crazy. So, let's start with just telling everybody who you are in a nutshell, kind of give us the quick rundown, and then we're going to get into, I mean, everything, your story, what you do, how you went from CrossFit to bodybuilding, where you're at with, I know you're chasing your pro card. I'm shocked that you don't already have it, to be honest with you. Your competition last year, the season, apparently the knee injuries, the peptides, we're going to talk about so much cool stuff. So I'm excited about this. So who is Evelyn in a nutshell?
Evelyn Bruce, born and raised in Washington and went to WSU. I have had like a competitive spirit my whole entire life, but was never like super into fitness. But my husband played professional in the NFL. And so he kind of was always trying to get me into fitness. And so finally, 1 year after I had my daughter, I think she was like a year old, we went on like a family reunion and we went on a hike. And my sister took a picture of me and I was holding my daughter. And she sent me a picture and said, "Wow, look at your arms." So I didn't see that though. I just saw this layer of fat over my pants that I had never really known that I had before. So I was like, okay, well, I guess now I'm at the phase in my life where I have to take like my fitness and my nutrition more seriously. And so that's kind of when my fitness journey began.
Are you more into fitness than your husband now?
Now.
Because I don't know your husband super well. I just know him from Instagram.
Yeah.
To be honest. That's how you know a lot of people nowadays. And it definitely seems that way. Not that he's not into fitness. He had to have been if he was in the NFL.
Yeah.
What position did he play?
He played defensive end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in high school, he played quarterback. But he's giant human. He's like 6'6". But in high school, he was like 210. So tiny little guy. Yeah.
He looks like a big quarterback, though. He kind of looks like he'd be a quarterback.
Well, then he got to WSU, and they started feeding him, and he started training adequately, and he became this, like, massive, like, monster. Mm. And he has this insane drive. Like, you tell him to do something, he's going to do it. And however, like, if he needs to tackle somebody, he's going to get to that person. He was like a sack machine in college. It was amazing. So put on a ton of weight. For being as big as he is, he's super quick on his feet. And so, yeah, that – you know, WSU
and
took
Wazoo,
him too.
That's cool. And you're from, so it's like homegrown Washington. Oh, yeah. Where do you play pro ball at?
He went to, his first team was Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
And then he went to the Oakland Raiders. And then his last team where he had his career ending injury was the Jaguars. Jacksonville.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
and I say, I don't watch sports at all. So otherwise I might know that. I just don't know. Which is actually cool because I've met some pro athletes and they appreciate it because I'm like, there's times where I just don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
And that's like, I'm a normal guy and they feel normal and it's cool. And then, yeah. But okay. So he got you into fitness. You started training because you saw something you didn't like in a picture,
yep,
which is common for a lot of people, right? Now you own a gym.
Yeah.
So how did it go from, okay, I'm going to start training finally to owning a gym?
So I am a little bit crazy. Full disclosure, I love fitness because it gives me the opportunity to be super competitive in something. And I loved what my body was able to do when I was in the gym and I was actually like putting in the work, putting in the nutrition. So I went from, I would go to LA Fitness and I would run on the treadmill for 20 minutes, literally every single day, 20 minutes, and then it would be my upper body day. So I'd kind of like go do some cable machines and like a couple bicep curls and be like, okay, I'm good for the day. And honestly, it was probably more to just like get my little amazing daughter who was terrible as a little toddler. She was terrible. I just needed like an hour to be away from her because she cried all the time. She was like, didn't like anyone but me. Not even my husband, until she was like 14 months old. It was so rough. So that was my like hour of me time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of my piece, right? So it was LA Fitness, little cardio, upper lower split ish. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I literally Googled like programs to do at LA Fitness. And that's what I found. And so I just did it over and over and over and over and over again. But I was seeing results. Like I was losing the body fat that I wanted to lose. And it was giving me that hour of like sanity. So I loved it. So then my husband, who has always been an athlete, always been in shape, we were kind of both getting out of shape, right? So he's like been out of the league, been out of, I think he wasn't playing for maybe a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And after that's your identity for a long time and then you're out, then you kind of like, you lose a little bit. Like he didn't want to have anything to do with what he was doing before. So he didn't want to go to a weight room. He didn't want to do cardio or anything. But he went out one night to like a local bar on Thanksgiving that all the people at his high school went to, and he saw one of his friends from high school, and he was like, dude, you look amazing, because he, you know, 8-pack and his jacked arms and whatever. He's like, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, I'm doing CrossFit. You should come.
Mm.
So he's like, well, shit, if CrossFit does this, like, I'm in. So he went, he did it, he loved it, and he'd been going for probably like 4 weeks. And I was seeing massive changes in his body, like already in 4 weeks, right? Because he went from doing nothing to doing this high intensity. And then when you start CrossFit or you start any fitness regimen, you're like, now I'm all in. So now not only am I going to be working out, I'm going to be mindful of the food that I'm eating. I'm going to drink all my water. I'm going to bed on time. Yeah. No more alcohol. So he's just like changing drastically.
No bull head to toe.
Yes, no bull. Exactly. I think at the time it was Reebok though.
Okay, yeah.
All the Reeboks of the early days of CrossFit. So he's like head to toe, Reebok, just all CrossFit. And he's like, babe, you're going to love this because it's so competitive. So I Googled.
Especially as an ex-athlete, for him, that was probably this like,
yes.
I mean, he has the muscle memory. And I even, I mean, we work with people who have done, we don't do CrossFit stuff, but we have a lot of people come to us after CrossFit. Right. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And that initial stage, people always ask like, well, why did it work so well? Like, well, anything's going to work super well at the beginning. And that's like, CrossFit is the best example of 0 to 100.
Yeah.
So not only is it like a new thing, but it's a new thing at level 100 for you.
Right.
You're going to see it.
Well, and he knew how to clean. He knew how to deadlift.
Yeah.
He knew how to squat. And then he's incorporating all this high intensity stuff.
Yeah, 'cause of football,
and like, yeah. So he's like, it's amazing. I love it. Plus there's people there that are cheering you on and you have a friend that's like next to you and like people clap you in CrossFit. Like nobody finishes alone. It's this incredible like group fitness experience where you're like, I can't do this. But then these people make you finish.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh shit, I am amazing. Like I can do these things that I didn't think I could do. So that was his experience. He wanted me to, he's like, you know, you're doing great, babe. You're looking really good, but I think you would love this because this is going to give you that competitive edge that I think that you're really wanting. And I'm like, I don't know. So I Google, what is CrossFit? And weird socks, tall neon socks, and like all these people like throwing bars over their heads and like doing these weird pull-up things. I'm like, what is this? It's so silly. So I'm like, no, absolutely not. There's not a chance. LA Fitness, it is. So it was my birthday. And he's like, babe, he's a very frugal person when it comes to like, he doesn't like buying expensive clothes or spending money on anything like frivolously.
Yeah.
So he's like, babe, I want to buy you any guitar that you want. He like took me to Guitar Center, like you choose. And I'm thinking like, what
you is play guitar?
The catch? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take full advantage of this.
Yeah.
So I pick the perfect guitar. I'm on cloud nine. I'm in the car on the way home. And I'm like, this is going to be amazing. I'm already like, I'm picking it in the car, like kind of playing in the car because I'm so excited. And then he goes, hey, babe, so I'm going to go to CrossFit tonight. And I was just wondering, this is my birthday, Cody, my birthday. He's like, I'm just wondering if like you want to maybe come with me. And I was like, shit, I can't tell him no because he just bought me this like very expensive guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, babe, how bad could it be? Like, I'll go, fine, whatever. So we go. And I walk in the door and there's barbells and muscles and sweaty people everywhere. And immediately some girl runs up to me and she's like, hi, my name's Jenna. What's your name? And I'm like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And so the whole time she stuck with me through the workout, because we came in and Crystal went, he just found his group of people and he just dived. Mm-hmm. He was like in it on his own. He left me hanging, but this girl did not. She was like, don't worry, Nikki, I'm going to hang in there with you. We're going to finish together. And I'm like, okay. So it was like 1,012,000 burpees or something crazy, right? That I was like, there's not a chance. Yeah. I don't know if I'd ever done a burpee in my life. So anyways, it makes it to the end.
That community is so strong.
So strong.
It's like a cult.
This girl finished probably 5 minutes before me, but she stayed by my side. She cheered me on the whole entire time.
That's so cool.
And when I thought I was going to throw up, she's like, you got this. And I'm like, you're right, I do. So I finished. Then I'm like, finished, and I'm needing help to the car. My legs are Bambi legs. And my husband's like, I'm so proud of you. Well, the owner of the gym comes up to me. He goes, wait, you got to come back tomorrow, Nikki. Like, listen, I know this was hard, but if you don't move, you're going to be so sore. So I was like, oh, he's right. Fine. So the next day is my anniversary. All I wanted to do is eat a piece of freaking ice cream cake, right? That was my goal for my birthday, but I was so sick after that workout that I couldn't do it. And so I was like, next day, I'm definitely going to have my ice cream cake that I didn't have on my birthday. And it's my anniversary. So I want to like go out to dinner or whatever. But we went to CrossFit. And I finished another brutal workout. Don't remember what it is. Jenna was still there. She's cheering me on. And then the owner of the gym came up to me after I'm literally laying in the floor in a pool of sweat and maybe some tears. And he goes, great job. I guarantee you couldn't get that workout at LA Fitness. And I was like, you are right. So I was stuck. from then on, I was addicted. I loved the community. I loved how hard I had to push.
Yeah.
I have this crazy ability to kind of like black out and go somewhere, finish it, no matter what it takes, no matter how bad it sucks or how bad it hurts, mm-hmm. I will finish it. And then I'm just like, okay, how did it go afterwards? Like, I just black out. It's great. So CrossFit was amazing for me. So fast forward, I think it was 2019. I'm doing a CrossFit competition because I was pretty good for being as tall and lanky. I built muscle pretty quickly. We almost created a team to go to regionals one year.
Oh, shit.
I mean, it almost isn't there, but we almost did. But then, you know, as CrossFit evolved and became this beast of a thing that it is now, amazing, incredible, I have two children, mm-hmm. you know, I have a job. And I was coaching now at this gym that we were at. But I agreed to do a CrossFit competition with this team. And I love that because you're in it with a team. Like, yeah. They're going to push you. They're going to encourage you. And you don't want to let them down. So as hard as you can push on your own, if you're crazy, you can push 10 times harder with the team. So we have to do this weird worm clean thing. And I think the worm weighs like 220 pounds, which isn't a lot with four people, but you have to like side clean it up to your shoulder.
Is it like a big sandbag?
Yeah, it's a huge, long sandbag. So we all like would kind of deadlift it up, clean it up to one shoulder. So it's like a rotating clean. And then you're push pressing it over your head to your other shoulder. You have to be in sync.
Yeah.
You have to be communicating or shit could go wrong. So this is the moment that totally changed my whole CrossFit experience. My team, we weren't in this together. We were kind of, the dynamic was a little weird. We weren't communicating and one of our guys in the front end dropped it. So then all the weight is off balance and it takes you for a ride, right? So I had this weird twist and I heard pop and I felt immediate burn and pain. And I looked at my teammate and she's like, are you okay? And I said, I need your belt. I put her belt on. I suffered, literally found my happy place and made it through the rest of the day. Obviously we didn't place where we wanted to. I don't like finishing anywhere, but like first, second is like the worst place to finish for me.
Yeah.
So I was a little bummed, but mostly I was like, I know I'm jacked. So I went to the doctor the next day and I had like a pretty bad upper thoracic like tear. Mm. So I was out. I was out for weeks. I was out. I couldn't lift any weight. I couldn't lay down. I couldn't sit up. I couldn't sit. And I wanted to get back into it so bad. So I like feel better after 3 weeks. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back. Well, that's stupid. My doctor's telling me like,
yeah,
wait, do body weight stuff, like do your stretching, go to yoga, blah, all stuff. And I'm like craving that intensity. I don't want that. I want to lift a barbell over my head, super heavy, and like throw weight down and scream, ah, right? Like I don't want to go to yoga. So I was impatient and I didn't listen. And I went back and I tore it even more. So throughout this time, I'm like kind of a nerd when it comes to like continuing education. I want to learn, right?
Right.
So I'm taking any certification that's available to me. I'm taking like nutrition courses. I'm learning. So as I'm learning, realizing how stupid I've been and how I could probably come back from this, but stronger, I went through a program design course and you have to do 2 case studies to get your certification. Mm. So I did my 2 and on one of them was for a bodybuilder. So I was like, okay, I am going to do this program and I'm going to see what happens. So I did. And I kind of used that bodybuilding program for, I would say it was, I think it was like 12 weeks or so. And I came back to CrossFit and I was even stronger. Like, how was I even stronger? But everything felt more stable and my body composition was so much better. And this is only in 12 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, I wonder what I could do if I focused on this solely, because the reality is that I loved CrossFit. I love CrossFit, but I want to be competitive because I want to win, mm-hmm. right? And with the way that CrossFit has evolved over time, I don't have the ability unless I focus everything on that with anything, right?
Yeah.
To be successful in that. So I decided that I had a friend that was a bodybuilder and they'd asked me several times like, oh, you have a great frame. You should be figure. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. But CrossFit was king. Right. So I finally like reach out and I'm like, so remember we talked about bodybuilding? Like I want to meet, fine. Let's let's meet. Anyways, she pulls me in and she's like, because she's been begging me for years. She's like, do this. I want to be your coach. And finally, when I'm ready, she's going on this world tour. I think it's for like Gladiator or something, because she's pretty freaking amazing. No shit. Yeah. So this is Tanji Johnson. She's been to the Mr. Olympia stage 11 times.
She helped me with posing the first competition. I mean, that was like a decade ago, but
yeah,
she's been in it.
So she's still in it, right?
Yeah, she's amazing.
But this particular time when I decided it's time to like make that shift, she's unavailable, which is fine. Because she directed me to my current coaches, who I think will be my coaches until I make it to the Mr. Olympia stage. Because I've worked with them and they know me, and I still pose with Tanji and stuff like that. But it took that moment that to kind of churn, you know, my head away from CrossFit to get into this bodybuilding thing. And I had no idea what I was getting into.
Yeah. And it's like, we won't get into this part yet, or maybe even at all, but like the aspect of keeping that same coach is so important. I mean, especially in bodybuilding, but even in general, I just tell people, if you're planning on doing this, if you're going to have a coach for a long period of time, and you can go through multiple phases with the same coach, and they learn how your body responds to different fluctuations of your calories, different macro ratios, different types of training, like how much volume you can have, tapering. Like,
oh yeah,
it's so much better. Like the clients I've put on stage twice versus the clients I've put on stage once, it's just night and day difference. Now, sometimes I have somebody competing tomorrow, actually, as we're recording this. I think she's gonna take the whole thing. I actually used her in my case study. And that was like so far out. So she's at the Jay Cutler Classic this weekend.
That's so awesome.
So shout out to Stephanie. And she was doing her master's to get her dietitians during it.
That.
I'm like, you're crushing
it. You know, if you can be in prep during something like that, you're literally, you can do anything.
Yeah. Literally. So at what point did you open the gym within all this?
Oh, okay. So the gym, I started doing after my personal programming certification, I found how much value there was in individual program. So I really wanted to like implement that, but it's hard to do that in a CrossFit space because people are seeing people doing something different and they're like, well, if they look like that, I want to do that instead of this. And that kind of takes away, like, it's so important that they're bought into what they're doing, right? Yeah. So doing that personal programming on the side was kind of taken away from the gym, and that's not fair, right?
Yeah.
So I decided I was going to get my business license and open my LLC and start training from my 3-car detached garage. So, which was wild and scary and hard, because this CrossFit community really is what showed me my passion for fitness to begin with. The people were my family. Mm-hmm. And to leave because I had this like vision of what I wanted to do, not because I was unhappy where I was at, but because I'd figured out what my passion was. And I'm old, right? So I was like in my 30s by the time I really realized, like,
how old
I
want to,
I'm 40.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, you don't look 40.
Thanks.
And even 40 is not old. Come on.
Well,
just to like tell you, I'm not just like giving you, like trying to hype you up or blowing smoke. I was going to ask you, cause you live in Maple Valley. Did you grow up in Maple Valley?
I grew up in Renton.
Oh, okay. So never mind. I was going to say, cause my wife grew up in Maple Valley. And so she went to school, high school and stuff. I was really going to ask you like when you graduated, because my wife's 31. No, 30. Holy shit. I'm 31. She's 32. She's corrected me on my own age before. I'm not joking. And I was going to ask if you might've been in the same class. So really.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
That was very nice.
Anyway, 3-car garage.
Yeah.
Continue.
So I was doing like personal training and small group training, because again, the community is like a big deal.
Yeah.
And then accountability and whatever. So it was 4th of July and we looked around and we were like, oh, we're like 24 people in here. This is silly. Like, we need a space. Mm-hmm. But my husband, who's been in fitness for his whole life, is like, no. Fitness is not profitable. Like, this is stupid. Like, no. So I'm like, hey, okay, fine. Because overhead in your garage is your insurance and your business license and your certification. So I'm investing in myself and not necessarily any overhead, otherwise. So it took a while. And then one day, so I'm also a real estate agent. I was taking a client to see a listing.
So you're a figure competitor. You used to compete CrossFit. You play guitar. You sell real estate. I think your husband's a pilot.
Yeah.
Flies planes. Brand told me that yesterday. I'm like, bullshit.
He does.
Flies planes. Used to play the NFL. It's like super family.
I know.
It's honestly so cool. It's crazy. I love seeing families that just learn and just do shit. Like, yeah. It's just so cool. Like, I just, when he told me that, I think it was yesterday. Whenever he was here last, cause I had said that you were coming and he was like, oh, nice. And he was kind of telling me that he was talking to you guys. He was like, I was kind of joking. And then they were like, yeah, we'll take you on the plane. And yeah. He was like, I didn't know how to respond, but it's so cool. I was like, he flies a plane? Yeah. What?
It's wild.
It is wild. It's so cool.
Well, you mentioned previously, like we talked about like jack of all trades and master of none. And that kind of hit me to a certain degree in my heart. And I'm like, I love that I can do all these things, but I want to like, which is why I'm digging into bodybuilding so deep, is that I can do all these things. You know, I ride horses. I'm pretty good, but I'm not like the best. I like can play the guitar. I mean, I'm not in a band. I can play around a campfire. Like, I can do all these things, but I want to be really great at this thing. And I know that that's bodybuilding. Yeah. So we do a lot.
Are you talking about when I said that at the seminar?
Yep.
I would say this too, to add to that, I think that from a teaching perspective, I do think that is a very important thing. Like if you're going to be a coach, I do think you should find your thing that you're really good at.
Oh yeah.
And it depends too, because obviously, you know, for us, we work with gym pop. Like I always say advanced gym pop because there's people that are really into this shit, but that's a broad thing. It's a jack of all trades, but I have a master in each category because I have a whole team. So then it's a little bit different. But I say that to say, one of the things that drives me from a purpose perspective in life is very similar to what you're talking about. And hopefully this makes you feel better about what I said before. Like my motive is to die, and people talk at my funeral about how I was jacked and I was a really giving person and I was really wealthy, but I also had a lot of balance in my family. Yeah. And I also built multiple businesses. Like, cause usually what you see is like, this guy has a bunch of businesses. He's so busy, has no family time, or he's super rich, but he's also an asshole and has no friends.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these, you know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, that's why I'm so even diligent about like, I'm home at 5 for dinner. Like if it's 5:05, 5:10, I text my wife that I'm gonna be late because my dad was never home at 5. So I'm like, I'm gonna be home. Like that's, to me, that's like a signal. And for anybody listening who's not home at 5, that's just my own personal thing of like, that's what like a, you know, the dad thing in my head is. But I believe that most people are, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, or they're a master of one thing and not the rest. But there's nothing wrong with striving for, you know, being amazing in every category. Why not? Like, why not defy what is the norm by doing that?
Well, and I like riding horses, but I'm like, I don't love it. I love it, but I don't like love it the way that I love bodybuilding, right? I like playing the guitar, but I'm like, if I couldn't do bodybuilding, I would be devastated, which is, you know, part of what keeps me going, like what I want. Yeah. Like if somebody was like, you can't ever play the guitar again, bummer. Like that sucks. I love having that fun little skill, but it's not, I don't feel like it's what defines me, you know? So, and I'm going to keep doing a whole bunch of little fun things that I like to do just because that's who I am. That's kind of like what I do.
Life's short.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, I want to ask what got you to shift from like, I mean, not necessarily shift from CrossFit. We've kind of been diving into that. It was the injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
But for people listening, because I believe that there's just so much value in bodybuilding from a standpoint of like discipline and willpower and grit and like the process, you know. I sent my wife a video, and funny enough, we were talking about this earlier. I think it was Derek Lunsford. It was like a reel, and it was kind of like, why do you even bodybuild? Like, why do you go through that? Because there was a point in my prep where like she would see me and she'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like I mowed like half the lawn and I went and laid in the bedroom for a while. And she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm not, but I'll be fine. Yeah. Why are you doing this? But I sent her this video and it talked about the why, you know? And then she was like, I think I get it. Yeah. I understand now. Cause it's not like, and even the next time I compete, so I got second and I was like, that's not acceptable.
Yep.
I'd rather not place. And so like, to me, I'm like, okay, I got to do the same show again. Yeah. Or if I don't do the exact same show, one that's bigger, but, what is it about bodybuilding to you that makes you so, you know, into it and in a good way, addicted? And I even have one of my buddies owns a similar gym. His name's Cody Smith, and he owns it used to be a CrossFit, and he converted it to what he does, which is similar. And he was like, I'm going to do a physique show just to check off that box. Cause he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Does all the things. And he was not expecting to enjoy it. And so I started writing his programs, and he's like, dude, I love bodybuilding training. And he's prepping for this marathon, and then we're getting back into it. And he's like, dude, I miss bodybuilding training. I'm like not enjoying my training right now because it's not that. So, I mean, to you though, what is it? Cause you switched.
Yeah. I have done hard things in my life. You know, I've had children, like I've done hard things. Bodybuilding is the most challenging thing that I've ever done in my whole entire life. It makes me feel really accomplished. I have a daughter. She's 14. She looks up to me. And when she sees me like choose to go to the gym, when she sees me choose to make healthy choices, to drink my water, to go to bed when I'm supposed to put my phone down, she's watching every single step that I take. To after my first show, Cody, she was bawling her eyes out. Like she came up and she hugged me, and I'm getting emotional because she's like, mommy, I'm so proud of you. And I loved the sport before that, but that's when I knew like, I'm going to go all the way. Yeah. I'm going to keep doing this forever, because she watches me during prep. She watches me in my off season. She knows what my workouts are. She asks me, how was your workout today, mom? Like she'll pose with me. Like this is a lifestyle, you know? And I think she, not only does she see me do hard things, she sees me like, you have to figure out some insecurities in this sport too. You have to like trust yourself. You have to have guidance. Like everybody's like, why you do this? You program, like you're a personal trainer. Like you're a nutrition coach. Like why do you have coaches? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, to have somebody that I'm accountable to have somebody that can motivate me, to have somebody that can be a different set of eyes during prep when you have body dysmorphia, or you're like, I'm not where I need to be. Like somebody that can tell you like, yes, you are, or no, you're not, you know? Mm-hmm. So she sees me like be a leader, but she also sees me like ask for help when I need to. So I hope that in doing this, she's really learning to just be a well-rounded, better person, you know?
I love that. It's so much more powerful when you can attach some of the motive behind what you're doing to your kid.
Oh yeah.
To anything that meaningful. So if you don't have kids, whatever that thing is for you. But I think about it all the time, and it's kind of flipped for me because I don't expect my daughter to be like me necessarily. I expect her to be like her mom.
Totally.
But I do expect her to eventually, and eventually, I mean, a long time from now, she's six. She just turned six. So not for a long time, but find a man based on what she saw me do, how I act, what I say, my habits, like all the, and that's what I think about. And I'm like, if I'm doing something in front of her, or if I do the thing that I don't want her to see, I have to like intentionally correct myself in front of her.
Yeah.
And I think that stuff will pay off so much. But you said something about body dysmorphia, insecurity, stuff like that. I think one of the challenging things about bodybuilding is that, and you kind of have to face it. Right. Yeah. I actually posted a video about this today. If you're in a weight loss journey, you should step on the scale every single day. Mm-hmm. And most people are like, I would never want to do that. And I explain all the science-based reasons why this is important for weekly averages, blah, blah. But I also say the obstacle is the way. So like if you fear the scale, you need to get on the scale until you don't fear it, until you can shift your mind. So do you agree with that? How is your approach to that? How do you conquer that? Because I think a lot of people, if they don't get this part right, bodybuilding can be something really bad for them.
Yeah.
But then for the other people who stick with it, it's like the best thing for them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is, but there's something in between that like the people who stick with it, it helps their body image, their confidence, their insecurities. And the people who don't, it makes them worse.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
Well, I mean, the reality is we're choosing to do this, right? No one's saying like, you have to do this bodybuilding competition, and you're doing it probably because you want to win, or you want to be pretty competitive, or you want to achieve like the best physique of your life. Like pretty much those are the reasons you do one, right? I mean, I have never met anybody that wants to do one otherwise. So
you gotta be kind of crazy.
Yeah, you do.
You gotta want to absolutely. You want to do hard things.
You need to suffer a little bit.
Like the suffering is good.
Yeah.
And that's kind of some of the things that we say about it. It's so funny because I'm like, that just doesn't sound right.
It's facts though.
It is.
You have to experience these really hard things, and then you come out of the other side and it's super rewarding. So like stepping on the scale every day. I'm a person that if my coach says, I want you eating 140 grams of chicken, 100 grams of rice, and a tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, I'm going to eat exactly that. I have a scale to a point where maybe, I mean, I can intuitively measure my chicken. I can look at it and know that's 145 grams, but I still put it on the scale because if it's 146, I'm cutting off a gram. I'm just that way. I'm choosing to do exactly what my coach is telling me to do, because then everything can be tracked. Stepping on the scale, everything is tracked. Like maybe sweet potatoes are making you retain a little bit more water, so those are not something that you're going to eat closer to your show. Like all these little things, but you'll never know if you don't know exactly what you're putting in your body and how your body is responding. So
now you guys work with some people like we do that aren't at the extreme level that you're at. And I say that, but because I think there's a standard of excellence that you expect and that you're trying to accomplish. And that requires a pretty detailed aspect, you know?
Yep.
So how do you do that? Two questions. One, how do you do that, but not necessarily teach that to everybody? Because I can say I have clients that I tell them and teach them to do exactly how I do, because that's what they want. And then I have clients where I'm way more flexible with, because I know that's what they want and what they need. How do you differentiate the two? And then also, do you think that, because some people would say that's neurotic, right? Like, okay, is 0.6 grams really, like, or 6 grams, I guess, of 140, you know, like, come on, it's chicken, big deal.
Right.
Which I don't disagree with. And I've made videos and talked to people like, if it says 102, don't take one blueberry off. Mind you, there's a lot of times I do.
Yeah.
And I don't do it because I think that one blueberry is going to make me fat. I do it because I have a standard of excellence. And I'm like, well, if I have enough discipline to do that without worrying about it or overthinking it or anything, everything I do becomes a standard of excellence, you know? But absolutely. I also don't tell everybody to do that. So it's like, I think there's, you know what I mean?
Well, and I guess it's like, what level are they trying to achieve, right? Like if I'm prepping for somebody for a show, I do expect that, right? And sometimes even if they aren't ready for a diet break or like a refeed meal, I'm giving it to them just to get their mind right, you know? And then, because ultimately what's going to happen is if I don't do that, then they're going to go binge or, you know, eat a whole bunch of other things that I don't want them to eat. So it just really, it's a lot of communication with them, especially closer to show, to make sure that we're kind of on the same page, explaining the importance. I don't like to just be like, do this, right? Yeah. I like to be like, this is what you're doing and this is why you're doing it. And if we need to change this, that's okay, but you got to communicate that with me. Mm-hmm. And just really great communication, like daily almost sometimes when you're close to prep. Actually, daily when you're close, sometimes multiple times a day close to your show. But if you're like training for a show, but you're not going to do a show, then I'm going to throw in a cheat meal. Probably, I'm sorry, what do we call this? A refeed meal or a free meal or it's not. I try not to say cheat meal, but I still do because it's off of your plan.
Yeah. I also say too, like, I think the language depends on the person.
Yeah. 100%. You know what I mean? Yeah, definitely. Some people are like, well, it's cheating. And then if I cheat and I've already cheated, then I might as well just cheat a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I like to call them refeed because I'm giving them more calories than they're normally having. And then in their mind, they're like, this is part of the plan. It is still, right? But then they're not going to be like, it's a cheat. So I've already cheated. I'm going to go cheat more.
Yeah.
You know? So it's so independent for each individual.
It is. And like to your point with somebody in prep, I'll tell them a refeed and I'll tell them exactly what to eat on a refeed.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're going to refeed and you're literally going to increase calories with these foods at these times.
Yep.
That chick is competing on Saturday. I think I sent her in her check-in last week. I was like, as soon as next week hits, text me multiple times a day. Anything you need. Like I'm usually not like a texting coach, but I'm like, I'm going to take you off of my do not disturb list. Cause my phone's always on do not disturb. Mm-hmm. It's like, cause I got you anything you need when you're on the day, like keep me updated. Cause things change and it's just a completely different level. The normal person, I might ask them, what's your favorite food in the beginning? And then when it's time for a cheat meal, I'm just like, hey, I want you to go get a burger tonight. Cause that's what they told me they love and crave.
Yeah.
And I'm just, or sushi or pizza, whatever the thing is, you know? But to your point, it's just so individual.
Yeah.
All of
I don't
think
there's any specific way. Like there's certain people when you're like, hey, I want you to have like a cheat meal. They're like, I don't even, what does that mean? Like, I don't know what to do. And you have to walk them through, like, go have a double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Like, don't eat any dessert. Like, because they just don't know because they're so regimented. And full disclosure, that's me. Like when my coach is like, he's like, Nikki, I need you to have like some steak and I want you to eat 200 grams of, and then add like 2 tablespoons of nut butter. Like he gives me exactly what I'm supposed to quote unquote cheat with because I'm like, what if I eat too much or what if I don't eat enough? And you know, that's just how my brain works.
Yeah.
And what is he intending to do? Like if this is, you know, so there's just all sorts of different clients that you have to kind of.
This is a good question for this kind of topic. So you've obviously been listening to my podcast for a while. Yeah. So I know that you listen to other podcasts like this. You're into the geeky stuff. There's not a debate or a battle with this, but there's like bro science and there's evidence-based, mm-hmm. right? When I'm working with a normal person, it's like 90% evidence-based.
Yeah.
But when it comes to competing, some of it is like 50-50. And I hate to say that because I don't want to get flack or anything, but there's just some things that I'm like, it just works. I don't care what studies show, or there's just no studies on it. But how much do you believe in that? Because I guess because there's some things that you're like, I just don't even ask the coach. I just do what he says. But there's that other part of your brain as a coach and as somebody who really researches a lot of this stuff like I do, that you're like, I know that that's not really backed by science, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah. Well, science says you're eating in a calorie deficit, so you're going to lose body fat. When my body plateaus, I have to give myself a huge fat bump, massive amount of calories. Mm. Why am I losing weight when I'm eating like 300 calories more in fat for 2, 4, sometimes 6 days in a row? Like, I don't know how to back that. I just don't, right? Mm-hmm. That's definitely not a calorie deficit. And then I'll go back to my deficit and I'm cutting again.
So, fat loading is one of the weirdest things in bodybuilding, because a carb-based refeed is so easy to explain.
Yeah.
When you think of just thermogenesis and you're replenishing glycogen, you're reducing cortisol, like carbs do certain things that just, that makes sense.
Yep.
But I've read and listened to bodybuilding coaches use fat loading for peak weeks and fat loading for a situation like that. And sometimes I'm just like, that just like doesn't, like it doesn't compute in my brain. Yep. Like I don't get it.
Yep. Same.
Which makes it a very, honestly, as a coach, it makes it kind of a scary thing to implement.
Yeah.
Like you got to have a lot of experience to do stuff like that. Cause that's not easy.
And it's been because I've done it. My coach has programmed that for me before. And I've seen it work. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, do I try that with this client that kind of probably needs like a little fat bump? Like, and then I'll try it. And if it doesn't work day one, I'm like, ooh, maybe I just need another day, day two. And you're risking like throwing all these extra calories at them. You're really freaking scared that what if it's not the right thing to do? I think I've tried it 3 times with different clients, 3 different clients, and it's worked every single time.
Yeah.
So, but that's like prep clients.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, what's funny about prep too, is that it's, I mean, you can tell me your opinion. My opinion is that taking a client through prep until the last couple of weeks is literally some of the easiest clients, because they're so motivated. It can literally just be a numbers game for the most part. As long as you know what you're doing and you give yourself enough time and things are in place, it's really just calculations, you know? Yeah. And then some like mindset talks, depending on what kind of coach you are. And then all of a sudden you get to the last little bit. And especially if you're not on time, then it's, you know, probably like a month or so out. You're like, oh shit. But even for this client right now, she's just so dialed in. And like the last couple of weeks though, it's like so nitty gritty. The pressure is way higher. All these details. Now you're in figure, correct?
Yes.
So that's even more, because with bikini, I'm going to be honest, it's way easier, because you like a peak week, honestly, you don't even really need to do much, because you kind of just need to be in a good place and walk right in. And for her, like her carbs are high enough already that I'm like, thank God we can just literally walk in if we want to and not change things. I'm still going to change some things just to make sure we like cover our bases. But with figure, I've put one figure competitor on stage, multiple men's physique, multiple bodybuilding. Those are all way different. It's like the more muscle the person has, the trickier things get, because the look is different.
Totally. And I'm 5'9", and I have the frame, but I didn't have the density, right? So for me, I had to really mess with calories so I didn't get too flat. And then I had to be able to refeed myself so that my muscles looked full and I didn't look flat on stage, right? Without like, it's so working with the same coach for me the last 2 years, prep was different both years.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like carb depletion and then refeed and then like water manipulation, not like totally dry by the end of, you know, by show day, and like sodium manipulation and things that really I have found in like that work for me personally. It's intense. Like when you go through this last year, I did like a carb depletion phase where you kind of start on the 7 or 8 days out from show. you're done. Like your body is where it should be if you're ready for your show. And now you just have to like totally deplete yourself so that you can do this carb load so that when you go on stage, like your skin is tight, yeah, to your muscles look all plump.
Like the night before.
Yeah, and juicy. Well, it depends, yeah, right? Because for me, I think I did 3 or 4 days. I think we pushed it to 4 days of this depletion phase where you have very few to no carbs at all. And you're not working out the way that you're working out before, but you're doing like this like fast twitch muscle like circuit. So you're working all upper body. So my last leg day happened the week before my show, because in order to get like the muscle lines that you want in your quads, you got to be done with legs.
Yeah.
So for a figure competitor, you need those lines. I think bikini, I don't think that you have to have these massive legs, right?
You actually
so,
don't want to have too many right. lines and definition.
Yeah.
Bikini.
So I need to have the separation between my quad muscles. So I'm done with legs week before. Then like you want to deplete all of your muscle glycogen. So you're doing circuits like shoulder press, bench press, curls, like just to get as much of that, to remove as much of that glycogen as possible. And you're checking in with your coach 3-4 times a day. Okay. Yep. Still doing cardio tonight. Okay. Yep. Like add 40 more or 400 more milligrams of sodium or 16 ounces of water. Like you're literally manipulating down to the day of the show.
Yeah.
You're all of these things. So you get down to a point where you check in with coach and coach says you are flat as a box and you're like, yay, that's great news. Because then you get
carbs.
Eat the most ridiculous amount of carbs you've ever had in your whole entire life. So like, I think that the calculation was like for every kilogram of skeletal muscle mass, you get like 30 to 45 grams of carbs, but that's a big range kind mm-hmm. of, right? So you're checking in all the time so that coach could be like, okay, like no follow plan or like don't eat as much or eat more or whatever. So you're making sure you're not like spilling over. So I think my competition this year was on a Tuesday. So Sunday, I'm eating carbs. I'm eating like 400 grams of carbs a day. Going from nothing to all of that, you feel like Super Mario. You've punched that little question mark and you're like, right? You like power up. You feel like you can do anything. And as much as like that depletion phase sucks for me, it was probably like 24 hours of like, felt like there were cinder blocks on my feet and I could barely walk and it was awful. But then you start to refeed and you have so much energy. Plus your muscles look bomb because they're all plump and juicy and your skin is all tight to them. So I mean, you got veins everywhere. It's wild. And then, okay, keep eating. Okay, keep eating. After day two, you're like, are you sure, coach? Like, are you sure?
You get nervous.
Yeah. And you just got to trust him. You know, my competition is in Florida this last year and my coach is in Tacoma. So I'm checking in at 3 a.m. and he's waking up at midnight or 1 a.m. to do my check-ins because he's like, you don't eat, you don't train, you don't do anything until we check in because you don't want to risk that spillover and then you look sloppy on stage. So the manipulation of like the calories and the sodium and the water is like crazy intense close to your show. And for me, that's the most intense part of prep because your muscles have to look perfect, right? So yeah, I don't know if that answered your question or not.
Yeah, absolutely. How many pounds did you gain during, we're not going to say like one season or anything like that, but like when you started doing bodybuilding or maybe not even competing yet, but you shifted from CrossFit, you started lifting as a bodybuilder recreationally and stuff to now just, and I want to say that one, because I could care less, but I think there's a lot of women that listen that. And it's cool too, and I want to ask you a question about this part later, but like the being able to stay feminine while building muscle, because I think a lot of people fear that.
Yep.
And figure is technically less feminine than bikini because you're, you know, well now there's so many categories in women. I actually can't stand it. I think it's getting too, some of them are too close together.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like figure, fitness, physique, and then bodybuilding.
Yeah. So,
but those three all look the same almost. Well, I mean, obviously it progresses more and more, but my point is first question, how much have you gained in that whole process?
Are we talking just pounds wise or muscle wise? Different.
Start with just pounds.
Okay.
Just cause I think it would be good for people to hear. I mean, just break it all down. Cause then obviously, you know, in season versus off season is different. And that's really like people don't understand that either.
You know,
I'm 25 pounds heavier than I was on stage. And that's not all muscle. I wish it was, but like, part of the process, you know, and it's weird to see your weight do that stuff.
Yeah. Especially after you've been on stage with like a 12 pack, right?
Yeah.
So when I did CrossFit, I definitely wasn't paying attention to my physique. I cared about my performance and that's it. I'm 5'9". I weighed 172 pounds. So that's a lot. Like I was a big girl, but I wasn't a big girl, right? I had a lot of muscle. I think the most muscle I had, because I track these things regularly, was 72 pounds of muscle, which is great. It's fine for a woman. When I started bodybuilding, I had a surgery. So my first year was basically like, you're working with what you got. Mm-hmm. Like you got now, like the season was, how good can you diet? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all said and done, I cut down and I still had 72 pounds of muscle, but I was 135 pounds on stage. So
probably less than you would, like if we would ask you before you started prep, like how much do you think you're going to lose?
Oh, I would have been like 15 pounds.
Yeah, it's like always way more.
Crazy, like mind blowing. I was like, I didn't know my body could do that. But again, like I think figure competitors generally go on stage at like 8%. I was 5.
Yeah.
So I was really, really lean. You, death face, that was my face. Like all the cheekbones, like sunken eyeballs, like I kind of liked it. But
it's crazy. Yeah. It is so
it was
crazy.
Wild. I just have like chubby cheeks. So people were, when they would see me, my mom would be like, oh, honey.
Are
like,
you okay?
Do you need some spaghetti? You know,
that's like, how my grandma was too. She hated it.
Yeah. But I'm like, mom, I'm choosing this. Yes, yeah. I want this. It's all part of it. My fat cheeks will be back soon. Like, no worries. So that was season one. Off season, my goal was build muscle. I'm a natural athlete. I don't take any performance enhancing drugs right now. I don't plan on it because I'm still really new in the sport. Well, for now, anyways, full disclosure.
Yeah. And it's smart that way too. Milk out everything you can.
Yeah.
Natural.
I think genetics come into play for me. I'm very blessed with genetics. I have the ability to build muscle. And my shape is really good.
Yeah.
So I have those things working for me. So, I built between 8 and 10 pounds of muscle in 1 year.
That's really good.
And I had a shitty, I don't want to say my whole off season was bad, but like after prep, you need a plan because let me tell you the things that because I've been engulfed in this CrossFit world. You can talk about CrossFit with all these people and they know what you're talking about, but I didn't have anybody to talk about with, you know, bodybuilding with.
Yeah.
So I didn't know anything going in about like what the refeed was going to look like. I had no, or that there was even such a thing. You know what I mean? Like I didn't know how hard this was on my mental state. You know, the body dysmorphia was wild. Like the first season was a lot of learning for me.
Yeah.
But I also did really well. I did Northwest Championships. It was an amazing show. And I placed first in all my classes and then I got overall. So then I got my qualification for nationals. So my last season was me going for my pro card because you qualify for nationals and you have a 2-year qualification. So in 2 years now you have to
go to a national show. And if you win, it's just first, right? Or do you
first or second?
You get a pro, get the chance to compete for your pro card.
Mm-hmm. You get a chance to compete for your pro card. If you're first in your class, you have to be first in your class,
which I hear a lot of people saying they're given pro cards out way too often now and stuff like that. And I agree. Yep. They're doing it more. Like it used to be like crazy if somebody had their pro card, but I still think like, if you really think about it, because I've worked with people, in fact, Brandon on my team was this way too, where he did a show, won, went to a national qualifier, got third. And so he couldn't go compete for his pro card.
Yeah.
Or maybe he did two and then he lost the show to get his pro card or whatever it was. But it's like, all right, prep's almost done, buddy. Oh, you won? Prep's still going.
Yep.
We're pushing. And then it's again, oh, we're still going. And it's like, you gotta be like really tough to go through that. Or very, very determined and patient, because if you are going to wait, because he was lucky enough where he just went from, I think he was in Toronto and then he went down to New York. Like he was just like, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah.
But to be like, okay, I'm going back and I'm going to train for a whole year and I'm going to come back within the 2-year period and I'm going to do it. Like that's a lot of patience.
I had to, because I needed the muscle. I didn't get to do all of the training that I needed for the muscle density that is required for my division. And to what you said about like him handing out pro cards, I agree. Like, I feel like if I would have taken the physique that I had last year to a different pro qualifying show, I probably would have my pro card, but I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want my pro card on the amateur Olympia stage because it's fucking hard. I stood on stage with the most incredible women, like to a point where I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so inspiring. Not necessarily intimidating, but like I got work to do. So in any other situation, if I walked off stage with anything but first place, I'd have been like, unacceptable, right? Yeah. But I didn't deserve it standing next to these people. And ask for the judges' feedback. What do I need to do? Like I knew going in, I need more density in my back and like I need bigger hamstrings. Like that's something that I'm definitely working on. Last year it was like bigger shoulders. So I focused on shoulders and this year they're like great shoulders. So like I need that year because I am so lean and because it takes so long for me to build muscle. So for me, it's a one and done every year until I have that density that I need to like, which is my hope that I go into the pro league competitive, right? Because you're competing against all the women, like the people that were on that Mr. Olympia stage. Yeah. And so I don't want to get my pro card somewhere else and not really be able to go into the pro league and stack up, right?
Well, and it's legitimately like junior college to NCAA.
Yeah.
Like it really is. Because I even remember I went and watched my coach at the time. There was a pro show in Federal Way. And just seeing the difference of like just a normal local show to that, it was like you're on the high school team and then you're watching the NFL. Like it's literally insane. And so for me, the same thing, I have to put on a lot of size because even in men's physique, you just got to be bigger. And I wasn't training with that intention. It was kind of like, to your point earlier, I was like, I got so much going on. Let's get on stage. Yep. You know what I mean? And like I had enough muscle, but then doing well enough and then knowing that I had the frame for my division, it's like, okay, I have to add a lot of weight because some of these guys are like 200 pounds, you know, to like at my height, I'm 5'9". Their men's physique for Olympia status is definitely like, they're like between 200 and I think they made the cap 225.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like, right.
I was 182, 183 pounds today. I'm like, I can't even imagine. Like that's nuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, and I'm pretty lean for an off season, but I mean, I'm eating 4,000 calories. I mean, 530 carbs a day. I'm just like, I've never ever not wanted to eat. I was a fat kid growing up. So like, you don't got to tell me like twice you're increasing my calories. Cool. I'm literally like, there's like, I'm just like, I don't even want the meal.
There's so much rice. I mean, it's so filling. There's so much rice.
That's exactly how it is. The other night, Shannon had the rice cooker on and we're getting ready to eat dinner. And I like looked in it and I was like, I'll let you go first. Just trying to be nice. And she was like, there's enough. And I was like, no, it's fine. You can go first. She was like, is there not enough? I'm like, I mean, he bumped up my calories again. She's like, you're not going to eat all that. So she like gave her scoop and I had to finish the whole, all that. There was like, I was like, do you want some more? And there was like a little bit left. It's nuts. Just like a mound.
So crazy. Sitting at dinner last night with my husband and I had a refeed meal and it was like a lot more rice than I normally have. And I was like, dang, I'm so full. And he's like, do you want your pro card? And I was like, you're right. Just shove it in.
Yep.
Like, yes, I do. So.
So what, where are you at right now within season stuff? You're in off season right now, obviously.
Yep. Off season right now, building, eating, lifting like crazy. Just trying to do everything so that I'm able to recover quickly. Tons of carbs, like high protein, like, you know, always manipulating though, like checking in regularly still, because off season you can get carried away, right? Like you can lose your way really quickly and then you have to backtrack and I'm not willing to do that, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to stay as lean as I can because I want to maintain as much muscle as I can during my cut.
Yeah. Make prep easy on yourself.
Yeah. Make it way easier. And honestly for me,
and that's just a patience game, right?
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And like, we keep my food high and for a long time. I think I was like super high. I was like, dude, I'm eating so much 6 weeks out. And I have these friends that are suffering now. And I was like, I don't get it. I didn't need to suffer that way because I had done the work in my off season. So that's my goal this year. But I got to build a lot more leg. So that takes a lot more calories. And
do you do a lot of cardio going into the, is that what you guys tweak first? And that's why you're able to keep your calories high?
Yeah, we tweak cardio first. I don't do a lot of cardio in my off season unless like I get fluffy.
Yeah.
But I have a little cardio right now, but not a lot. I do like 3 days of 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Like zone two.
That's like literally super what easy. I'm doing too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because people want to know, especially when I always like doing this stuff, especially for women listening, because I think when we take, I can think of a few women on my roster right now that are not competing and literally have zero intentions of competing. It's never even been a conversation, but they've dieted for so long. They got stuck down there. We had to reverse diet them. They desire more muscle, but they're afraid to gain weight.
Yeah.
And so it's a process of me showing them like, look how much better your measurements are. Your pictures are, you're banging out pull-ups now, body weight, like, and you gain 2 pounds.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, you know, right. Like we're doing this right, but increasing calories is always tough. So I would love it if you could tell us what's your training split right now, where are your macros at, where's your off-season weight right now? Because obviously in an off-season, you want to gain weight. It's going to be slower. Like my rate of gain is going to be faster than yours because I'm a guy. Yours is also going to be slower if you're trying to stay lean, which is similar to mine. I'm taking it slow. But I just would love if you could share some of that so people can get like a realistic idea.
Sure. You know? Yeah. So this year my focus is my hamstrings and like back density. I do 3 lower body days. So Mondays is a glute focus, Tuesdays shoulders, and then some back in there. And then the days I do my cardio are on my upper body days. So I'm trying to save all my calories for building muscle on my leg days. My Wednesday is a hamstring day. And then my Friday is a quad day. And my Thursday is a chest, but like do buys and tries and some more back in there. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, depending on how I've recovered, I throw in shoulders again. I still need to keep my shoulders, you know, nice and wide. So, and then Sunday is my off day. So I'll throw my cardio. There's a lot of legs.
That would crush me. I do legs once a week.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of carbs. And then like, I kind of touched with you on this like a little bit earlier, but, in order to recover faster, I need help.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm taking some peptides right now that are assisting me in recovery. It's just like a small insulin needle injection in, you know, every day. For some of them, but I do a BPC 157 and TB 500, and it's kind of a stack. They call it the Wolverine stack or whatever, but it helps me recover like Wolverine.
I think those are the future of.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say the future, but I see them continuing to grow, at least the good ones. Like there's some, this is bad. I don't even remember what it was. I know what I was taking, but I can't remember. There's so many abbreviations for all of them.
Yeah.
But I've played with some peptides too. And one of them was a growth hormone secretagogue. And it's like people don't fully understand how growth hormone works. They think you take growth hormone, you're just going to blow up and everything's going to grow. It actually works better for fat loss and maintaining muscle if you take like illegal growth hormone, which I've never done. But the peptide version, which is way more tamer, I didn't really get much out of it. And it wasn't worth... if I don't have to poke myself with a needle again, like I'm just not going to, you know,
totally.
It's funny. I hate needles. I'm covered in tattoos. I don't like that process either. But, my sleep, that was like one of the big things it does. Growth hormone helps with sleep. That's why it's highest at sleep. I had the craziest dreams, like weird, wild stories I'd wake up with. And, so I stopped that and I was literally just testing it. Cause I had started out with clients asking me all these questions. And there was another one that I tried out that I can't remember that it wasn't. It was more of like a, I did notice I could increase my calories a little bit. This is probably over a year ago now, but I didn't get much out of it. But the TB 500 and BPC.
BPC, yeah.
I've heard amazing things about that.
So I I've been in this program for 12 weeks now. And so the first 3 weeks I was destroyed. Like, could barely walk out of the gym. And then for days afterwards, like by Friday, I would be like, I have nothing left. Like I cannot. So we increased my food. I'm still sore, but I'm working. My weights are still going up, but I still feel like kind of like, oh, I probably need 2 days off. I don't have time for this. Like, what could I do? I've been researching this for a really long time. And I was like, you know what? Why not just try it? Because I'm eating all the food that I can eat without gaining too much fat. I'm sleeping, I'm drinking all my water, I'm like doing all the things that I need to do. I go like regular chiropractic and like, you know, anything that I can do, massages, whatever, I'm doing it all. So what can I do to improve so I can keep training like this? Mm-hmm. So I tried it. So I have really, I was training before, started taking this and I kind of was like, okay, this is silly. Like 2 weeks in, I'm like, this isn't doing anything. I already bought it. I'm going to keep taking it. 3 weeks in. And then I start looking at my weights because I do progressive overload style programs. So it's very easy to track where I was, you know, two, 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, oh shit. Like I'm going up significantly in weight and I can walk. Oh crap. Like I'm by Friday, I'm good. Like today I trained with my husband and he's crying like a baby on the floor and I'm fine and I'm stronger. I'm lifting significantly heavier than I was even last week. So I'm a huge believer in those two specifically. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to try to see. I'm never going to promote anything that I don't 100% believe in ever. So I'm just going to see because I have clients ask me about all the time.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think about this? And I don't know. If I haven't tried it, I can't tell you. Yeah. I can tell you, I can find, you know, studies on it and what other people have said. But if I haven't used it, I don't know.
Yeah.
So now I know. And it's legit.
Well, and you can compete naturally with it.
Yeah.
Because technically it's, I mean, what they're doing is literally taking amino acids and different types of, like, if you think about it, actually insulin for a diabetic, that is a peptide, literally. Yeah. I think this is what people don't understand about, like, there's two categories of peptides and steroids that people fail to understand. There's like, there's Breaking Bad steroids, which is like Tren. Just, I don't know anybody who's taken Tren. I've never taken Tren. I just know enough to say don't ever take it and don't trust the person that's trying to give it to you. Like it's just, there's certain ones that it's just, it's chemically, it doesn't make sense. Then there's other ones that have been studied on humans in trials and they're used even technically. And I've never done this myself, but growth hormone has been studied so many times because they use it on burn victims. They use it on children who aren't growing fast enough because maybe they were premature born babies and stuff like that. There's all these things that have been tested. And if you do it properly, you're gonna be fine. And peptides are even a completely separate category, right? They're like actually natural substance in the body. They're just like, it's like taking two Legos and putting them together that have never been together before.
Yeah.
Right. And so I love this kind of stuff. I think it's the future. I think it's going to be like, I talk to clients all the time and I'm like, if you're trying all the things you can and either A, you're still not able, cause like I have like guys that have testosterone issues that I don't care how much ashwagandha you take and how, if you sleep 10 hours a night, it ain't going up at this point, right, man.
Yeah.
It's done. So if you need to take TRT to feel better, have better memory, have better cognition, have better performance, build more muscle, like why would you not do it?
Right.
It's healthy. Like, again, that's a completely different category, but birth control, that is the same exact thing. It is a hormone you're putting in your body just like anything else.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Thyroid medication, same thing. Bodybuilders use thyroid during preps to like maintain their metabolic rate while cutting. Again, I don't know enough about it. I don't even know if it's a pill or if it's a shot or whatever. I've never taken it, but I think people have like this crazy misconstrued idea of like the dangerous, grimy bodybuilder, you know, in the alley.
When
if you knew how many people are taking hormone replacement and all these different things, you'd probably have a different look at it. And if you're trying to get to a certain level, you need peptides because you have to train more than what your human body is. Like your body's not wanting to do that.
Right.
Like you're trying to take it to where it's not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You got to do some stuff that you're not usually going to do.
Well, and then also in the grand scheme of things, like if you can live optimally, right? They give us this range, like your testosterone should be between this and this, like, and whenever so you're in that range, like, right, Western medicine, and if you, and why are we trying to live like the average American? No offense, but like, I don't know. I don't think our standard is very high at all.
Yeah.
So why would I live within that range when I could live like optimally, right? I'm not saying excessively, which is why I was like, you know what? There's minimal to no side effects with these peptides. And if they do help me, awesome. If they don't, cool. Then I know, right?
Is there even any side effects?
Zero.
That's what I was
maybe
like
injection site. Like I was afraid to poke myself with a needle. So I kind of hesitated the first couple of times and I gave myself a bruise, like a little tiny baby bruise, but literally nothing else. Like, and that happened twice when I was like learning to do it. Right.
And those are actually even easier when you're lean. Cause like you can pinch your skin so easily.
Yep.
It's like, I mean, you just literally put it right on the skin.
Oh yeah.
Simple.
And the little needle is just so tiny. Like if you're actually pulling your skin up, wait, you don't even feel it. Like is it ideal to give yourself a shot every single day? No, but honestly, because I know all the benefits that I'm experiencing from, I look forward to like, it is on my calendar. Like everything I do is very regimented. Like, I take it regularly. I'm not like, oh shoot, I forgot to take my
I need to find people who can come on the show. And I've done one on peptides, but like even like TRT and stuff, I need to find, because I had a client that basically said, I want to get off TRT. Can can you help me out? And I'm like, yeah, I'll show you exactly how we would taper off of it, all the stuff. But first, like, why? And then he kind of told me, I was like, well, where'd you hear that? Or like, who made you feel that way? And we kind of like went down this rabbit hole. By the end of it, he was like, there's no fucking way I'm stopping this.
Right.
Like, what? Like, yeah, never mind. Cause I'm like, basically he had heard something about it was dangerous or it wasn't healthy or stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, how much are you taking? You obviously have a doctor giving it to you.
Right.
Yes, yes, yes. Have you done your blood work? All this stuff. And I'm like, you're healthier with it and you're going to live longer because you're healthier and you have a better quality of life. Mm-hmm. So tell me why. And it's this preconceived idea
yeah.
that like all these things are bad. Right. Okay. So I want to finish. That's your split. What are your macros at right now?
I am currently at 195 to 100 or like 200 grams of protein. Mm-hmm. Carbs are about 260 to 300, depending on the training day. Fats are about 55, 60. So, and they vary only depending on like my recovery. So yeah. And some days I'll throw in like a little extra like carbohydrates for recovery, especially on like when my glute days are super intense and then my quad days get really wild too. So, and then that's like beginning and the end of the week. So I kind of feel like very adequately fueled through yeah. the entire week that way. So
it's so interesting how it differs between men and women too.
Yeah.
Like I'm not doing more volume than you or anything like that, but I can eat significantly more carbs than you. You know yeah. what I mean? And I notice that with a lot of my clients as well, obviously. And there's just genetic differences, you know, mm-hmm. it's crazy. Are you doing any like intra workout carbs or anything?
No, not currently at all. Sometimes post workout, I'll add a little cyclodextrin in my post shake. But I'm trying not to give lovey right now. So yeah. I'm eating adequate amount of carbs to just fuel me for
yeah.
my workout and recovery.
So. I'm telling you, that'll be your next, after the peptide and you're like, I need to do more volume and recover better. I feel tremendously better doing intra workout carbs.
Really?
Amino acids. Yeah. Essential okay. amino acids. The carbs are the main thing, but like a good carb blend that has the carbs, some kind of electrolytes in there, sodium, usually it should have a ratio of like 2 to 1, like glucose to fructose.
Yeah, okay.
So usually the good highly brain sick detection brands will have a little bit of fructose powder in there, but I notice a difference. I feel way better.
Throw those in my leg days.
Yeah. And that's what I was gonna say. Like just even on the hard days, until my carbs get so high that it just doesn't matter. Like lately I don't even finish my drink
because
I'm like, I don't need this anymore. Like this is just getting ridiculous. Okay. And then last question, where's your weight at right now? Where do you expect to be when you get on stage again?
Yeah. So in my depletion phase, I got down to 141. After my refeed, I went on stage at 145.6. I'm sitting at 160 this morning. So I'm about 15 pounds.
Different. That's not bad at all.
Not bad at all. But I hope that I'm going to continue to build muscle. Mm-hmm. We'll probably start a cut like 168, I think will be the highest that I want to get this off season, if that, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously we'll just see depending on, I'm going hard on these leg days. So that's hopefully yeah. we build a lot of muscle.
When are you going to compete again?
October 8th. So that's the amateur Olympia.
This year?
Yep, of this year.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I have a while, but I do yeah. this thing where I do a show and then I build for a year. And until I get yeah. that Sydney Gillen muscle where she just can do lightweight to maintain, like I'm going to be building.
Yeah.
So even after that's I get good. That pro card this year, October 8th.
See, and I don't even think that's that far away. I actually was like, oh shit, that's actually coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, we six got months. A lot. Yeah. A lot. 6 months is a good amount of time, but still like, cause I mean, you competed, when was it? Because you came to my show.
Yeah.
I ran into you there, and that you competed right before that, right?
Yep, October 31st last year.
Okay, and so, mine was November 5th.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to wait until, I don't want to, part of me wants to do the same show, but I don't want to wait till 2025
yeah.
of October, so I'm probably going to do a spring show 2025, because I'm not going to compete this year. I'm going to do the okay. whole year just trying to
build.
Yeah.
I love it.
Which has been fun. And it'll continue to be fun, hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll probably throw a mini cut in there at some point just to make sure I don't
make
get too fluffy.
Fun.
Yeah.
I have to get my pro card this year because my 2-year qualification is up.
Yeah.
So everybody's like, why don't you just go to nationals afterwards? Like, no. If I don't get my pro card, wait, hold on. We're not even manifesting that. I'm getting my pro card this year.
Yep.
But say I didn't. If I didn't, then I would do the same thing. I would go requalify at like an NPC show locally. Because I know I can, mm-hmm. which seems sucky and unfair because I know that my physique is, you know, exceeding some of the people that would be competing on stage. But you got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
Get my qualification. I go back to the amateur Olympia stage. That yep. is where I'm getting my pro card because that's going to be the hardest stage to get your pro card on.
And so you're going to go to Vegas for it then?
Yeah, it's Vegas right? this
that's
year.
What I thought.
Yeah.
So Dope. Okay. Last little thing. And then I just would love to socials, all that kind of stuff for people to go follow you and everything. Do people ever, like in your environment get surprised? Cause you have some of it's fashion, but also to just your figure in general, you have a feminine look, and then posing can instantly be like, holy shit, she's got a lot of muscle, and you don't realize it, which I still don't see. I don't think it gets unfeminine until you get into closer to the bodybuilding category personally.
Totally.
But you definitely have more muscle mass than a lot of guys. Like when you get into a pose, it's like, whoa. Yeah. And even for every category, that's how it is. When they pose, it's like night and day difference. Does that shock people a lot? Does it help? I've got to imagine it's cool to be able to talk to women who are like, that's, you know, masculine, and you're like, do you think I'm masculine? And it's like, right. Well, no. And it's like, okay, well, look at this, you know?
Right. So, because I own a gym, right? So people see me and they see me from like the beginning of prep to the very, very end. In person, I'm looking skinny, right? Like I don't have an ounce of fat on my body.
Yeah.
All my clothes are fitting huge. Like you don't look jacked until you go on stage and you flex everything. But people that don't know me, haven't seen me in real life, they think I walk around and I just look like that.
Yeah.
So I had like a friend was like, oh, this is my friend Nikki, and you look at her. She's amazing. She's so muscular. And he's like, oh, she's on steroids for sure.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh. And so she comes back. She's like, Nikki, are you on steroids? I'm like, no. Yeah. She's like, well, my boyfriend, he's also, you know, a bodybuilder. And he said, you're definitely on steroids. And I'm like, well, I'm not. But when you're flexing your body to look like this, like, you don't walk around looking like that, no. Right? You don't. Like, you've gone through the posing to make your body look the best it can and to show off all the muscle that you have built. So
even taking a selfie in the mirror.
Yeah.
I'll take selfies here, like, before I leave, just, like, gym session done and stuff. And I had so many guys this one day. And of course, you get the good angle. But yeah. I just got done with the upper body day. I'm wearing a tank top. And they're like, 205? Question mark. Are you passing 200 pounds? Like multiple dudes. Mm-hmm. And I was just milking it. I'm like, it's like 179 this morning.
Yeah.
Like, it was a couple weeks ago. But it was like, that's the difference. Yep. Like people, you know what I mean? You don't see what, like, I even think personally for me, because I train upper body more because I'm men's physique. I don't have to worry about my legs. And with two knee surgeries, that's been like a weak point. Thank God I don't need to worry about it. But if I didn't have those, I'd probably be a little bit heavier. But I still wouldn't even be close to 200 pounds probably.
Yeah.
You know?
I pose in the mirror. If I had a shoulder day, my shoulders look jacked. Of course, there's a little more bend in my elbow and a little turn so you can see the whole shoulder head. Of course.
Yeah. So it's deceiving online.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this has been great. This has been cool. I was excited about this. I love having local athletes, competitors, business owners, fellow coaches. It's even better that I knew you've heard, like, I really didn't know you listened to the podcast that much, which was so cool for me to hear.
You're on autoplay in my car.
It's so cool. I love it. So thank you. And it's cool to be able to have a podcast listener on the show. So, but tell everybody where they can find you, your gym, website, social, all that kind of stuff. So we can link it and send people your way.
My gym is the Buffalo Gym. So it's buffalogym.com. Our Instagram is the Buffalo Gym. My training for my personal bodybuilding page is Evelyn Bruce Training. You can find me there.
Perfect. I'll link all that in the show notes so you guys can go check her out. A lot. She posts a lot of training videos of her training and stuff so you can see what she's doing, how she's doing it, and watch her journey until she gets on that Olympia stage. Hey, listener, real quick, before you turn off this podcast and move on to your next audio experience, I want to mention two things that I know will be game changers for you, and you could be missing out on them. The first one is our YouTube channel. Head over to YouTube, search for Cody McBroom, and subscribe to my channel. I drop one educational video per week that's between 10 and 20 minutes, and one YouTube short every single day, which means there's 8 more pieces of free content that you could be learning from to be more evidence-based in your approach with training and nutrition and achieving your physique. So once again, head over to YouTube, type in Cody McBroom, and subscribe to the channel. Or just click the link in the description of this podcast. The second thing I want to mention is even better. It's our coaching. Because we put out so much free content, you can only imagine what we do for people who actually pay us. And I joke, but I'm dead serious. The value we give is unmatched. We are evidence-based, we are trustworthy, we are loyal to our clients, and we are passionate about what we do. And to be honest, we just get better results than anybody else because we love what we do and we actually know how to do what we do. And in today's world, it can be hard to find a trustworthy and evidence-based coach who not only understands how the body works, but has the credentials to back it up and walks the walk, because everybody on my team is actually fit and healthy. So if you want real guidance, real accountability, and real systems that work and provide you with methods that are backed by research and are guaranteed to give you the results that you want as long as you follow our guidance and lead, then head over to tailoredcoachingmethod.com/online-coaching or click the link in the description of this podcast. You can apply for coaching today and get a completely free strategy call, which means you'll talk with me or another coach for 30 minutes straight, completely free and at no risk, because you have no commitment yet. If we're a good fit for you and you're a good fit for us, then we'll move forward and we'll get you the best results you have ever seen. All right, go ahead and turn off the podcast. I'll catch you next episode.